Therapy Insiders is brought to you by Verve, makers of the Arc, a revolutionary neck pain relief and postural support device, available now at www.goarcnow.com, and by Edge Mobility System. Give your mobility the edge. Available at www.edgemobilitysystem.com.
Hello, welcome back to Therapy Insiders. I am Dr. Gene Chirac-Abrod, and today we have a bit of a different episode for you guys. If you've been listening to Therapy Insiders over the last year or so, we've had some awesome guests, and we've talked about business, we've talked about techniques, clinical practice, all kinds of stuff. But one of the big things that we've kept coming back to, not just myself, pretty much most of the guests mentioned this in one way or another, is our idea of how important the upcoming class and classes of students are, right? Our DPT students. And just like anything else, the future generations always carry the progression of the field or anything, essentially, whether it's that or kids, right? You always hope that the next generation will be a little bit better. And the next generation will also have its perspective and point of view on what it takes to grow and progress and improve. Obviously, their scope is limited to being in school, but their views and their perspectives shouldn't be limited because they're students. They should be heard. And that's kind of what I set out to do. And I contacted or I reached out via Twitter with hashtag DPT student to see who would actually want to have their voices heard. Now, you know, it was a great response, and I appreciate everyone reaching out. I narrowed it down to three guys. And I don't know if this just says something about our audience or just that DPT students are mainly male that like to listen to Therapy Insiders, but I only had guys responding, which is a bit different because in the field of physical therapy or medicine in general, females outnumber the guys pretty handedly. So let's just go with this. This was the minority voice. How about that? The guys gave us the minority perspective. But it was great to hear the three guys, Daniel Allen, Matt Stoltman, and Scott McAfee, talk about what they see the progression of the field, what they see them becoming or growing into, what they're excited about, and some of their concerns. So the first clip you'll hear is me talking with Daniel, and I pretty much set it up the same with all the three guys. And I said, you know, the questions that I'll ask and the stuff that we're talking about, I don't want to hear the politically correct answer. I want to hear your true perspective, right? You might have several thousands of people listening to you, but that's okay. No worries. You know, just let's hear it. This is your chance to get your voice out. And they had some interesting things to say. So without further ado, here's the first chat with Daniel. And you'll hear me cutting in and out between these interviews, so you know what's real time and what the interview was. And I think you'll find it pretty interesting. So here's me and Daniel.
Well, I can, you know, to be honest, I used to want to be an orthopedic surgeon. I thought for sure I'd be the happiest just going in with a chisel and chopping up people's knees all day and doing knee replacements.
So what made you change your mind?
Well, you know, I got married, and one day my wife came home, and I was at home, and she said, "You know that doctors have the highest divorce rate, right?" And I just laughed. No, I mean, that was a funny story, but what really happened is I was trying to get some patient exposure hours, and I was at a physical therapy clinic volunteering, and I just felt extremely comfortable in the environment. I felt like the time with the patient and getting to know the patient and working with them was really unique, and I thought it fit my persona a lot better. As well as I think about physical therapy and the ability to have an impact not only on your patients, which I think is important, but also on like an organization. I'd love to, you know, progress and move up a career ladder. Like once you're a doctor, if you're an orthopedic surgeon, you've kind of climaxed in that arena. But physical therapy, I feel like there's like the sky's the limit kind of feeling, and I just want to be able to grow and grow and grow and progress. And
okay, me again. Well, real time me. So I thought this was a really important point that he was making as I was doing this interview with him. Just hearing that really stuck out to me, that even as a student, the aspirations to grow, even though might not really know what that entails, but to have that feeling, that's so important, right? Because that gives you the hope to grow your career, which is powerful stuff. Now, as you keep listening, see if you can figure out what the pattern is in between Dan and all the others and how to achieve that. And I think you will. All right, back to Dan.
So for that reason, physical therapy really connected with me more than I felt like being a doctor was.
So what do you see? What is the progression that you see? What is that ladder for you?
You know, for me, obviously, you know, there's the clinical progression and learning, which is so much. Already, I feel like school has been a lot. I even feel like I've forgotten more than I know right now. But so there's the clinical progression, but also I feel like there's a potential to improve in our physical therapy settings. So, for example, I know you mentioned you have a lot of people want to talk about private practice, and some of your other co-hosts are working in private practice. And I think in private practice, there's this huge area of progression that, you know, physical therapists can grow from just being a part of the practice to helping to stimulate that practice and give out creative ideas, and then even grow that practice outside of what it originally was, an expansion. And then, you know, hopefully at some point, you know, we can all work on becoming leaders in our own arenas at work, and as well as, you know, in the APTA or other areas of involvement.
Does any of that, do you have any concerns with any of that?
Absolutely.
Like what?
So my second favorite hobby is politics. And, you know, a lot of people shy away from that, but
what's your first favorite hobby?
Physical therapy, obviously.
That's most people like to think of that as a job or a career.
I should have said my family in case my wife ever listens to this. I should have said family. I screwed that up.
She better be listening after this. Okay, me again. Dan's wife, if you're listening, you are the number one thing, not a hobby. He was just on a roll. All right, back to Dan. All right, so politics, number two hobby.
So I like to follow politics and follow how politics, and, you know, now obviously that I have to, you know, work more in physical therapy. And we have a class about this right now, you know, health, business, and administration. I think about insurance and reimbursements and how all of this stuff has become very political. You know, it's not even about healthcare anymore. The first person that tells me that Affordable Care Act is about healthcare, I just pull my hair out. I think, no, it's about politics. And
do you still have any hair left?
I run out, you know. Once you have two kids, you just say goodbye to that kind of stuff.
Two kids? How old are your kids?
I have a 5-year-old little girl. My son just turned 4 today. It's his birthday today.
Oh, so, congrats. Happy birthday.
Yeah, thank you. And my wife is pregnant, so yeah.
Good Lord.
I just say goodbye. Say goodbye to my sleep and sanity.
That's going
to
be your hobby.
Right. There we go. Good save. but I think about things like, you know, the therapy cap is a huge issue right now.
Okay, so Dan's not necessarily the typical DPT student. He's married, his wife is pregnant, he already has kids, and for some odd reason, politics is a hobby of his. So he went on to talk a little bit about his ideas on the therapy cap, which was interesting in itself, getting the student perspective from someone that hasn't been really directly affected by it. But then I asked him, you know, it's great to hear, but tell me a little bit about how you see the whole balance of family and work and growing a career, and how do you plan on doing that? And I was really interested how a student sees that balance happening. So let's see what Dan says.
Yeah, I mean, having student loans sucks. I mean, there's like an immense words there. It does suck, and it's unfortunate that it...
Oh yeah, I asked him about student loans as well.
You know, it costs so much to graduate with a DPT nowadays. And I'm grateful that I'm learning, but the alternative is that it stinks to have to pay off that debt someday. So yeah, that's alarming because, you know, I understand I have mouths to feed, and that's a unique responsibility that maybe not all students have, but I've taken that upon myself. You know, that was, obviously I had some choice in that matter. But, you know, I think personally my goal after graduation is hopefully to do a residency in orthopedics. And I tell my classmates that, and they're like, you're not even making any money, you know? You barely get by. And I'm like, that's very true.
So this is the first mention of residency. And as you keep listening, not only with Dan, but the other guys as well, this is not the last time you hear this brought up. And it carries some weight with these guys.
But I look at it as opportunity for myself to grow. I mean, we get our fulfillment from different places. And one area of fulfillment I have is, you know, constant progression and improving upon myself. So while it does suck to not have any money and to be extremely poor forever and ever, I think it's worth it.
That's a really powerful and important statement there, I think, from Dan. Somebody that is about to graduate or soon graduate from physical therapy school, who has a family on the way, and he's willing to sacrifice income, money to support and help his family and get a further, more intense, more comprehensive education and mentoring. And I think that says a lot. So let's see what Matt has to say now. Now, Matt is a little bit different than Dan. Not so much. Still driven. Still very much excited for the future. But a different perspective slightly. And a different story. So, I'll let Matt tell his story.
Well, going way back, I was a wrestler in high school and also a baseball player. And I ended up having some shoulder problems. And so I went through a bit of rehab myself. I had another baseball friend who went through physical therapy rehab as well. So that was what initially turned me on to it. I liked the educational aspect because I've always been kind of interested in that. And so combining the educational aspects of physical therapy, working one-on-one with, you know, another person, and then my sports background, it seemed like a really good fit. And so I went through kinesiology in my undergrad at the University of Minnesota. And, you know, the more I went through those courses and learned about anatomy, physiology, biomechanics, it just, my eyes were lit up every one of those lectures. So that was the initial interest. Now that I've started physical therapy school and kind of cleaned up my lifestyle choices, getting away from the undergrad lifestyle to physical therapy and a greater focus on health and wellness in general, I've just really like had a lot of joy, found a lot of joy.
All right, me again. So Matt's sounding a little bit more like a typical PT student that you hear about, right? He went to undergrad was smart, was interested in sports, played sports, was injured, got sucked into the world because he had a good response, and then he wanted to do it. And he was obviously living the college life, as he said, and he started his maturation process from that to physical therapy school, which is still ongoing. So compared to Dan, who's has a wife and kids and is a bit more grounded, Matt is evolving into that. So let's hear how that evolution is going.
The messages that physical therapy has to offer as far as movement and health and the kind of holistic approach to keeping the body healthy.
So what kind of stuff did you move away from?
Well, I mentioned in the email, but I was living in a house with seven other guys my sophomore year, going out, on the weekends and being rowdy. And then as I transitioned more towards physical therapy, in preparing for that in my undergrad, I kind of cleaned up my act so far as that goes a little bit. And I was always interested in weight training and then sports before, but that kind of geared me more towards the wellness, whole body wellness aspect. So I went away from eating junk food, started making my own meals at home, and that was just a big change I found in my, how I was feeling from day to day, how I was doing in the gym, and my focus, everything. That was a big aspect. And
so it sounds like Matt is on his way to figuring it out, right? He's evolving himself. He has that personal growth that he's going through, which is great. We all have that, or we all should have that. He understands what it takes for him to succeed and thrive personally, which will help with his future career. And he kind of has an idea of what he wants to do with the sports perspective and the movement, which is great. But then I asked him a similar question that I asked of Dan, and that is dealing with concerns. It's great to be excited, but if you had to really think about it, once school is done, what are some of the concerns you might have? Let's hear what he says.
Well, personal concerns, it's tough finding or exploring where I'm going to fit into the profession. I mean, tough, but also exciting because there's so many opportunities in front of me. But,
what do you mean fitting in?
Well, just where I'm going to find my niche within the profession, and how to achieve some of my maybe long-term goals through the short-term steps. So I think about, the sports aspect of physical therapy, and that's obviously very attractive. But that's, kind of a pinnacle type job in the field. And
okay, take a quick step away from Matt. And that's a pretty realistic concern, right? Will I fit in? That's kind of a transcendent concern, whether you're in high school or college or a professional. Once I'm done, will I fit in and be able to do what I'm passionate about and what I really want to do? And that, I think that's a very, very realistic answer for Matt. And he continues to go on and tell me about how he's thought about getting into sports, and to him that's the top of the chain personally, to do sports. And so I asked him a little bit more about it, and then I wanted to know, how does he see himself getting to that point? And I think his answer will sound familiar to you.
Possibly through residencies, offered in sports or orthopedics, as well as, making connections along the way. But then I also think about my other interests that we've talked about being, the wellness side, possibly preventative care. similar, you know, steps in the immediate future to get to those long-term goals.
So there it is again, that word, residency. And that's an ever-growing topic, I think, now in physical therapy as more and more residencies are developed and a lot more focus is put on them. And it's great to hear that it's resonating a little bit with the students, that they're making the connection that going out of school to practice isn't always necessarily the best jump, and that there's another step for them for residency, at least in terms of the clinical side of it, the mentoring side of it. And, you know, for some that's great, but for others, maybe they want a little bit more, which brings us to Scott.
Well, I think to have this opportunity as a student, I think to begin with, is a testament in itself to how supportive the, you know, professionals in our field are towards new professionals and really strengthening the, you know, profession of physical therapy from the foundation, which is the students. And for you to be reaching out to students and saying, hey, do you want to have your voice heard? I think is a small step, like you said, but also a very important step and a contagious step in really improving the profession and getting more student voices heard.
So Scott is a big picture kind of guy. He sees it. I think he generally feels it, but I wanted a little bit more from him. He is involved in the APTA, and he's got it down a little too well. And I really wanted to know if he had the real idea of what he was saying behind the words that he was saying. So I started poking and prodding and see how he responded.
I think for me, the reason why I became really involved with the APTA is because I discovered how important my voice really is as a student. I can help advance the profession as well.
So when you say advance, what does that actually mean to you? You have a voice. So right now, let's say you have 5,000 people listening to you. What do you want to tell these people? What is your voice about as a student? No pressure.
That's a good question. No, I think that my voice is a part of a larger voice. As our profession...
Yeah, we know all that. We know you're not the spokesperson for the voice of all DPT students. But I'm asking you personally, your voice, if you had to sum it up of this is what I want to come across, you know, let's say I'm going to hit stop record in about 80 seconds, and you have 80 seconds to tell me this is what I'm really passionate about. This is what my voice is about.
I'm very passionate about getting other people involved. So through my experiences, I've realized that the APTA can progress my career. And as a student now, I know that I can be taken to the next level as a result of the actions that I take today. You know, I've done the research as to how the APTA can help me. I understand that fully. And it's just amazing to me how many opportunities are out there, having understood this, to how I can really take my career to the next level and do what I want to do for the rest of my life, which is be an active part of this amazing profession that is dedicated to the lives of our patients and other people.
Okay, a little better, right? He thought about it, put a little bit more insight, but I still felt that it was a little bit too rehearsed, that he's thought about it a little too much. So I challenged him a little bit more. So what's the next level to you? You say next level several times. What's the next level?
I think the next level is the future. It's being even more of a service to our patients in ways that we aren't currently.
Like
you know, I think that patients right now could possibly, you know, the yearly checkup with a physical therapist. Right now, that idea may seem crazy, but it's been thrown out many, many times. And I think that if people were able to say, hey, I can come to my physical therapist every year, get a physical checkup, make sure that my body is, you know, pain-free, moving the way I'm supposed to, and I'm healthy as I could possibly be. And if there's any advice that I can receive from my physical therapist, I'm all ears. I think that we do have a long ways to go as a profession in order to brand ourselves as that, and really promote our value in that kind of realm for, you know, injury prevention, pain prevention, all of those different models. I think that there's leaps and bounds to be made in that area. But I really think that, that's the next level of where we can go as a profession to really promote our value in even more ways to patients, and be able to treat them longer and in more effective ways than we do currently.
So, a few good ideas that continue to be discussed in the profession, and they're fine. You know, we've talked about them. Everyone's talked about them. So, naturally, I tried to get to a little bit more deeper level from him. So that's, you know, that's a very generalized, it's a good sentiment, which I think is shared by most. And you said we a lot, which I understand, you know, being part of the profession and sharing in that camaraderie and pushing it forward is great. And most of us are behind that, right? That's the mm-hmm. separation between wanting a career and wanting a job and being an activist for what you do and what you believe in. But I want to know about you. I want to know what you have to invest in personally to say, I want to do this. This is what I'm concerned about. This is what I want to accomplish when I'm done with PT school. And this is what I think might hinder me getting that. So more of a personal perspective on the field from you, from what you want to
gotcha.
Get out of it.
Yeah, I think that for me, I really wish that in my program currently that we had more business classes.
All right, now we're getting somewhere. He's finally opening up and telling me and you what he really wants in his world. And his world now is physical therapy school. So lack of business classes, and I promise you, he's not the only one that shares that sentiment, is a big problem because we want our students to come out and be advocates and to push our profession and grow. But if we never teach them how to set up a practice, how to teach them to run a business, how to harness their entrepreneurial spirit, how are they supposed to do that? So let's see what Scott has to say on the topic.
That is not something that is really a strong point of our curriculum. I really wish that, you know, we had classes on branding, on selling, on promoting your value, on the different payment models of insurance, you know, going out of network. Everything that I've learned in those areas has come from podcasts like this. Has come from, you know, people like Jerry Durham who are leading this charge with that. And I do feel very fortunate that information is out there for me to pursue. And I know for a fact that will definitely help me in the future. I'm really interested in those business classes because I want to open my own practice one day. I know that the APTA has resources that are amazing. The private practice section, they also have a student SIG, a special interest group as well, that the resources are very widely available to help with that as well. But, you know, I think that the private practice model at the same time is kind of very unpredictable, with things changing in the current healthcare system. I think that, cash-based services integration into your practice is going to be huge. Where PTs are kind of, you know, managing different cases where you have different tiers that all feed into each other with your practice. And you know, I know that that's not for everyone. I know that it definitely requires a unique mindset to be able to accomplish effectively. But I think at this point in my early career, that's kind of where I'm headed. And I don't know, I do wish that I was prepared for that at this point with more business classes in my curriculum, and that the public also was more prepared for that. Currently, I think that, like I had mentioned earlier, the branding and the public, the marketing to the public are definite areas of improvement that the APTA can accomplish. And if the public knows where they can go, I think that that would give me at least some security in my aspirations to enter the private practice field as well in the future.
So you said security and aspirations. I think that's a great statement. And there's no such thing, honestly. There's no such thing in security and aspirations when you're talking about entrepreneurial and being a business owner. It just doesn't exist. But there is security in your ambition, and there's security in your drive, right? There, nobody can take that away. Nobody can put a hinder into that if you have it. So if, let's say, there isn't that overwhelming security, which I don't want to say you should or shouldn't have, but I think once you get a little experience in it, that you know that it's so unpredictable that the only thing that is consistent or should be consistent is your commitment to what you're going to do. And even that commitment is going to waver up and down, which is normal as well. So some concerns. What are some concerns that you have or could see yourself having wanting to accomplish that goal of yours?
Well, I think you bring up a great point. You know, the when does your commitment waver? When does your dedication kind of get tested? And I think that that, you know, you have to be strong. I'm feeling motivated right now. You're energizing me up. But no, I think that you have to be confident in what you do. And I think that the main way for you to keep that going and to make sure that you're on the right track is really mentorship and having people who have been there and can offer you guidance, even when the going gets tough and you may be uncertain where to progress. I know that my network is obviously growing, and I have amazing individuals who have helped me, you know, every step of my journey. And I'm meeting with one of my mentors at USC tomorrow, actually, to discuss private practice settings and different models. And even to have that resource at my fingertips is huge. And as I grow, I know that I'm only going to get tested more. Right now is almost the easy point for me as a second year student right now. I know that the tests and the challenges are only going to get bigger from here. And it really means a lot for you to say, hey, stay true to what you know and to who you are, and keep being driven towards your aspiration. And I think that with different role models and different mentors that you look up to and can come to for advice, I think that that's what's going to keep you on the right track.
That's a good way to look at it. I mean, your perspective, your challenges are only as big as the situation that the world that you live in, you know. So failing a practical or failing a test is a big deal, because that's the world you live in, because it hinders your next step. When you're done with that, when you need to get your experience, or you want to practice, or you want to open up a business, which some people do right out of school, you know, I know a lot of people look down and say, listen, how can you open up a clinic when you don't know how to treat a patient? Which I don't think is a very fair statement to make. If somebody wants to be a business owner, that's their prerogative to be a business owner. It's hard to be a business owner and learn how to be a clinician. But some people, that's what they want to do. And, you know, there's a lot of ways to be both. And, you know, again, you can hire people to be good clinicians as well. But it's understanding what you want to do with what is offered to you in the time frame that you have. You know, the world is only as big mm-hmm. as the situation that you're living in at the moment. So it's all about living in those moments and taking a step back some time and realize that this is just the moment, and it might seem bigger or it might seem smaller, but it's just that. It's a moment, and it will pass, and you look back on it and you'll either have fond memories or you won't, but it'll pass.
Yep. You got to enjoy the moment.
Or not. It doesn't matter, but it's still a moment that will pass.
Definitely.
That's the cool thing. That's the scary thing. And that's the exciting thing for a lot of us that have that entrepreneurial drive. So Scott got to open up a little bit and talk about some of his concerns and some things that he wants to see. And just like Dan and Matt, Scott shares that same excitement for their future in the field. They see the potential of physical therapy, which I think once you start working, that you lose some of that. I think you lose some of that excitement you had in PT school, if you had any excitement in PT school. Chances are, if you're listening to this podcast, then you probably did, right? You want to know more and you want to educate yourselves and hopefully be entertained a little bit here and there. But it's, you know, losing that perspective of your spirit for being an entrepreneur or owning a business or just doing something different than your regular 9-to-5 or learning a new technique or something like that. I think that's a perspective that DPT students have more than most of us. And it's up to us to make sure that that's nurtured and developed and grown instead of so focused on regimented testing and getting them just to be regular PTs. And I completely agree with Scott. I think that DPT programs need to have more entrepreneurial and business and marketing and branding and give the students, the ones that want it at least, the opportunity to thrive. So thank you to Dan and Matt and Scott in participating. Thank you for everyone else that reached out, but I wasn't able to get you on the podcast or just a whole list of other stuff. I really do appreciate. And if you're a female DPT student, please let me know if you want to be in the future one of these, or if DPT students want to do one of these again. I think it was great. I love talking with all three guys. It was refreshing and it was fun to chat and cover some stuff that didn't make it on the podcast for various reasons. And it was great, you know, no other way to say it. It was great to talk with them. And I hope you guys see that continuing pattern that they share of growing and excitement of where that growth will take us. So if you have any questions for me or any of us, my two colleagues were not on this podcast and they'll be back again. We got some exciting guests coming up. So Dr. Joe and Dr. Erson Religioso will be back. But if you have any questions, go ahead, email me at therapyinsiders@gmail.com. And you could also find me on Twitter at Therapy Insiders. So feel free, and please, please, please leave us a comment or and a review on iTunes, on our iTunes link, to help us continue to grow and rise up on those charts. So it's been great, and I'll talk to you later.